Christians all around the world are celebrating Pentecost Sunday today, and we're going to get that a little bit more, but I want to invite the Holy Spirit to be with us today as we get started. Father, would you just have your way? We want to hear your voice, God. We want to hear from you, and so, God, we just pray that you do what, God, every time someone gets up here to speak, do, Lord, would you just take your word, would you divide it that we all can have a personal word from you. We can have a personal application for each and one of our lives, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that there may be no gap between your will and my words, God. Lord, would you just speak through me? Would you use me, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to have your attention to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we're also going to be looking at Acts chapter 2 and a few verses in that chapter as well. The scriptures are going to be in your notes and also on the screen today. And we're just going to be talking about today how grateful we are for Pentecost. Now, I'm not sure if you, like me, I grew up and my grandparents were pastors of an African-American Baptist church that was not Pentecostal. And so I always grew up with a somewhat of a negative tone towards Pentecost and the idea of Pentecostal. You know, I remember my grandfather used to go to different churches and speak, and he would bring the choir with him, and he would go to different revivals and different churches around, you know, South Miami area, and he used to speak, and we always knew the distinctives when we were in a Pentecostal church. Because number one, you know the service is going to last forever. There is this long service, man. We knew that we're in a Pentecostal church because in our church we said Holy Spirit, but at a Pentecostal church they say Holy. Yeah, they say Holy Ghost. Did you get the ghost? We knew that we're at a Pentecostal church, especially is that when we came to the altar and on the altar there was these white sheets, and whenever people were slain in a spirit, they used to be cover the ladies who were laying down to kind of hide their private blessings. You know what I'm saying? And they had these sheets. So we knew that about Pentecostal churches. So we, like, that was growing up. That's what I thought was Pentecost. That was it was all about, you know. And I just kind of stayed away from it. And as I began to grow in my personal journey with God, with my relationship with Jesus, I began to believe and begin to see for myself that Pentecost is way more than speaking in tongues or hearing, going to long services or seeing people have a certain expression. But Pentecost is a fulfillment that God wants to do in every single one of our lives. And so I want to just do a quick teaching on Pentecost and just kind of, and in order for us to really understand Pentecost, we must understand the Old Testament. And so what I want to do is really define Pentecost before we get into that. And simply is this, Pentecost simply means 50. It's the first half of the word penta is 5 and costo is to the 10th. And so what it really means is 50. It's not some deep meeting. And what that really means is that Pentecost occurs, the Feast of Pentecost occurs about 50 days after the Feast of Passover. So, you know, in the Jewish people, they have different celebrations that they have all year long. They have different feasts in which they celebrate. And some of the main feasts they celebrate, number one, they used to celebrate Passover. And Passover was a time where they celebrate, and in this feast, they celebrate the time in Exodus when they were bound and when they were slaves and when the Holy Spirit passed over Egypt and he passed over the kids of Israel and their firstborn sons. And all the firstborn sons of the Egyptians were killed. And at that moment, the people of Israel were able to walk into freedom. And so Israel, they said, you know what, let's do what we're doing at Cornerstone. Let's just stop and pause our life and just be grateful to God for Passover. Let's be grateful to God for our freedom. Let's just stop and be grateful to God for our salvation. So that's the Feast of Passover. And about 50 days after Passover, there was another feast in which the people of God used to celebrate. And it is the Feast of Pentecost. And in this feast, this is the time where they used to celebrate because they were at the base of this mountain called Mount Sinai, and God had given them the Ten Commandments. And so they wanted to celebrate that day and remember that day, just like what we have with the 4th of July. It's just a day where we just stop and pause and just celebrate our freedom. They had these feasts, and they just stop and pause and celebrate what God had done in the journey of the Israelites. And so we see that Pentecost is not a new idea that happens in Acts. Pentecost is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. Pentecost is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. I'm going to show it to you really quick. I'm going to give you some characteristics of that day in the book of Exodus where it highlights the Pentecost in which the Israelites used to celebrate. Number one, on that day, a cloud descended with a loud noise and fire on that mountain. We know that in the book of Exodus, that's to be true. Secondly is this, in the book of Exodus, we see that God wrote his law on tablets of stone, which we know as the Ten Commandments. Thirdly, what highlights the Pentecost in the Old Testament, the Feast of Pentecost, is that we see that 3,000 people died on that day. If you remember the story, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, he came down to the people of God worshiping these false idols, these golden calves. And so what happened was, in that day, God was angry and 3,000 people died on that day. And lastly, we see a highlight of the Pentecost in the Old Testament is that God establishes the nation of Israel. So this is the Old Testament, and so what Christ did when he came on the earth, he said, you know what, I'm not going to get rid of the law, because my goal is not to get rid of the law, but my goal is to fulfill the law. So everything that happened in the New Testament, Jesus is going to bring it to the next level and fulfill it and mature it in the New Testament. So let's look at some highlights of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament, thousands of years later. The Spirit ascended with a loud sound and with fire, just as in the Old Testament. God wrote his law not on the stones or tablets of stones, but he wrote his law on the tablets of our hearts. Number three, on that day, 3,000 people didn't die, but on that day, after Peter's sermon, 3,000 people, they got saved. They experienced life. And on that day, the nation, the church, God's church, was truly established. The Christian church that we are in today was established on that day. So we see that Pentecost is a fulfillment. Jesus is fulfilling what happened in the Old Testament. And so we got to be aware of these different feasts in which we celebrate, because Pentecost is something that God wants to fulfill in every single one of our lives. He wants us to experience this. And so we're going to go into a little bit of that later, but I want to talk about three things today. Number one, there is a prerequisite to Pentecost. There is a power to Pentecost. And there are practices to Pentecost. And so I want to get into a prerequisite of Pentecost. So the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, on that day, they were all together, and guess what? In one accord. So what that means is that they were all together, and they were unified with each other. And before God can pour out his Spirit on our church, God, and pour out his Spirit on your life, you have to be in a collective group of people. God pours out his Spirit in a collective group of people. And I want to challenge you with that, because this is a challenge for us. In order for us to experience the fullness of God for our lives, we got to be connected to a local body. I love a detail that we often miss, and that's found in Acts chapter 1. It says that in that day, in that room, when the Holy Spirit fell, there were, guess what, 120 people in the room. And if you are familiar with Jewish religious law, you understand that no synagogue or place of worship could truly be established unless there were 120 men in attendance. You see, what we get, the principle in which we get from Pentecost is that there was a sense of, and hear this word, formality to Pentecost. It wasn't some chaotic event which happened and the Spirit just came over on people who were just praying. No, this was a formal event. Like, God waited to 120 people to be in that room, and that was on purpose. So he can show you that Pentecost is not some chaotic event, but it's a formal event. It's something that's kind of in order. And sometimes me growing up, I always thought of Pentecost as being kind of out of order and just kind of not really fit into like a good system. And honestly, I just begin to realize, and the more you begin to study the book of Acts, you begin to see that Pentecost is not for chaotic people, for people who are part of a local body, who submitted to leadership, who wants to be a part of what's going on. And you know, and you see in today's earth, I mean, we hear all the time of these, there's people who are just kind of not really committed to being a part of a group of people. I want to encourage you. The reason why we should be grateful for Pentecost is because it brings the people together on one accord. And one accord is not us having the same political party. It's not us having the same worldviews and the same interests. But one accord means that we all have the same focus. We're all focused on one mission, and that's Jesus' mission. Focus on one God, and that's Jesus. And so I want to challenge you that there is a prerequisite to Pentecost. And not only is there a prerequisite to Pentecost, but there is a power to Pentecost. There's a power to Pentecost. And this is why we should be grateful for Pentecost. I love the first thing that it empowers us to do. It empowers us to live righteous. We're empowered to live righteous. We see one of the highlights of the New Testament Pentecost is that God, he begins to give us a new spirit, a new heart, and he begins to write his law, not on stones, of tablets of stone, but he begins to write his law on our heart. He begins to change our motivation. I just remember when I was when I became a Christian, and there was like a period of time before when I was a Christian and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I remember I lived every day in that period of time trying not to sin. That was my goal. I'm going to get up and go to school, and I'm going to try not to curse, try not to do something like that or lust. I'm just trying not to sin. And honestly, I remember one night in the back of a church, we had a trailer, and one of the elders came inside that trailer, was in a small group for youth, and he laid hands on me, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here was the greatest evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit for my life. It was that next day, my motivation changed to try not to sin to, man, I'm just living for God. And I make mistakes along the way. It changes everything when you experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we experience the power of Pentecost, it empowers you to live righteous. It changes your motivation. You know, I have a theory. I have a theory of why there, you know, I just grew up and I just remember meeting so many mean Christians. I mean, just mean. Just this mean. I have a theory of why they're mean. They're just mean and they're mad because they can't sin. That's why they're mean. They're just mad. But you know what? Like whenever we experience the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, he changes that. Like we want to live for God. And when we do sin, like we just feel terrible about it. And that's what the power of Pentecost does. And not only does it empower us to live righteous, but it empowers us to experience miracles. It empowers us to experience the supernatural. And here's where I check out, because I'm a kind of just somewhat of a skeptic. And so whenever people talk about miracles, I think about people not taking responsibility, not just being focused. And I kind of check out with things like this. But then I begin to realize that the power of Pentecost allows us to live a supernatural life and experience the wonders of God. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 19. It says, I will show you wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, and billows of smoke. God wants to show wonders in your life. You know how, you know, I'm going to give you a practical definition of wonders in your life. When you look at a circumstance or a situation in your life and you look at it and you're like, I wonder how that happened. That's a wonder. You know? I think about for me. I was meeting with a young couple. They're in the young 20s, and they're getting married soon. And we're just going over budget. Just kind of looking at their budget and just things like that. And they say, Pastor Travis, let's hear your budget. I said, you don't want to hear my budget because my budget was a little low. You know, when Brittany and I was first married, and that first year that we were married, and they said, we want to hear it. I said, you sure? Okay. So I told them. I said, hey, we made a total of $800 a month. We lived in downtown Orlando because that's where our church was. And our rent, the cheapest rent that we could find was $700 a month. Now, you do the math. I made a total of $800. My rent by itself, that's not including lights and, you know, the utilities or food or cell phones or gas or tolls in Orlando. Like, it was just, honestly, and at the end of every month, Brittany and I looked at each other. We didn't use any credit cards. We didn't get any debt at all. We looked at each other and like, man, I wonder how that happened. Every time, we were second service. We were celebrating this young girl. She was about 2 years old, and the doctors kind of gave the parents some bad news about this young girl's about some type of sickness. I'm not sure what it was. And so Pastor Sean and some of the elders laid hands on this young girl a few days ago. And literally, the parents went to the doctor the next day, and the doctor says, "Hey, I don't know what happened, but this girl has no issues at all." It was amazing. Hey, you know what that doctor is probably saying? I wonder how that happened. You know, like, a lot of times, like, we, you know, and I'm all for good planning, right? I'm all for planning well, being responsible. But there come times in your life where your planning and your wisdom is not good enough. I like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. It says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but it was with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Guess what? So that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Pentecost enables us to live a supernatural life. It enables us to really walk and see the wonders of God in our life. I was one of my missionary friends I went to school with. He's a missionary in Peru. And he tells me when they go to these villages in Peru, like before they preach, before they do anything, they ask for all the sick people in the village. And they start just praying for them, just believing God for them. Because here's why. They know that when the people see God do the wonders in their lives, they're open to receive the gospel of God in your life. And let me tell you this, like us pastors, we plan a lot for our sermons. I mean, Pastor Brandon plans a lot for the worship. And we got nice videos and cool stories and funny stories. But let me tell you, the thing that we pray for most, that you may experience the power of God when you come on Sunday mornings, right? Once you experience it, it can change your life. It can be a game changer for your life. And so Pentecost enables you to live a supernatural life. And lastly, it enables you to live out Jesus' mission. Like, and this is like one of my pet peeves, is that a lot of times in church culture, like we receive like the Holy Spirit so that we can get our latest fix on the Spirit. Like, no, like God has given you his Spirit so that, right? Let's not forget about that, so that you can fulfill the mission of God. That's why he's giving you the Holy Spirit, so you can fulfill it. You can live out what God wants you to do in this life, and you can make a difference in people's lives. I love what Acts 1:8 says, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. So you can testify of the things that God has done in your life to other people around you, so people can say, I love what the text says. The text says that there are people from all around the world. Different backgrounds, different cultures, different religions. If you do a study on the particular groups that were there, you would see that these people were not all Christians. These people were all not on one accord as a Jerusalem Christianity. They were a little bit different if you do this in-depth study. And here's what I love about this story. Like when the Holy Spirit comes on us, he empowers us to communicate a message to people who the world thought they could not understand God's message. So when a drug dealer comes into our room, right, comes into this service, like we're filled with the Holy Spirit to speak a message so that he can understand God's love for his life. I love what the text says. Like, these people, like, are these Galileans speaking? Because in that day, what happened was the Holy Spirit came upon these people, and these people started to speak in the other languages as other people. And these people was like, man, these guys are not trained. They're not studied. How is this happening? I'll tell you how it's happening. Because when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he gives you the ability to communicate to people who did not know the message of God, who did not know the love of God. And I just want to encourage you today that make sure that whenever you ask for the Holy Spirit and more of the Holy Spirit in your life, and what Pentecost is really all about, is all about him empowering you to live out the mission of God. I want to read to you just kind of a summary of Pentecost. Pentecost is all about God empowering believers with supernatural ability to fulfill an important mission. It's all about him empowering you with supernatural ability to fulfill an important mission. And you know, like I do, that more than ever, our culture is really far from God. Every time we turn, there's a new law or something else passed. And every time we see something else is further away from God's truth. But let me tell you this, that God has put you in this time. God has put you in this moment. He could have put you 100 years ago when everybody used to love God, and he could have put you in those times, or he could have put you in times where the culture wasn't as anti-God, but he put you here, and guess what? He said, I'm not just going to put you here, but I'm going to put my spirit on you so that you can fulfill the mission of God in your life. And that's why I love Pentecost, because when I look at the world, I get overwhelmed with the sin. I get overwhelmed with the obstacles that we got to face, and I get overwhelmed. But then I think about what happened because of Pentecost, and that I get to experience the feast of Pentecost every single day of my life, that he empowers me for it. He said, hey, I'm giving you the skills to pay the bills. I'm giving you everything you need to live out this mission. So not only is there a prerequisite of Pentecost, and not only is there a power of Pentecost, but there are practices of Pentecost. There are things that we can do to practice Pentecost in our lives. And I just want to practically talk about those things real quick as we close today. The first one is this. There is a time where we can pray and ask to receive the Holy Spirit daily. You know, you can ask the Holy Spirit daily. You can say, you know what, Holy Spirit, give me more of you today. You can pray a prayer that simple, and I believe that God's Spirit is going to come on your life. I think it's a ploy of the enemy that he thinks that you got to be in some melodramatic service to receive the Holy Spirit. I feel like God says, you know what? Hey, you just pray that simple prayer. I'll come to you. Holy Spirit, just give me more of you today. And that's something we can pray every day, and we can experience the Feast of Pentecost every day. Because here's the deal. Like, Pentecost is not about a one-day event that happens in our lives or it happened with the kids of Israel. Pentecost is a mindset. It's a lifestyle in which we get to embrace on a daily basis. So we can pray for more of the Holy Spirit every day. Secondly, we can just pray for an opportunity to be a witness for Jesus. And here's a simple prayer. Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity to be a witness today. Just give me an opportunity. If you're a student in here, the Holy Spirit, would you give me an opportunity just to kind of just encourage somebody today at my school? If you're in athletics and on your team, if you're just working, would you give me an opportunity, Lord God, to encourage one of my bosses or my employees? And God, just give me an opportunity. If you're retired in here, God, would you give me an opportunity to encourage one of my friends, some of my family members? Just give me an opportunity. This is to testify on your behalf how good you've been for me and how good you can be for that other person. Lord, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity. So you know, and here at Cornerstone, we love to give out wristbands. And so the last thing that you can do, you can encourage someone who is making a difference in our community. You can encourage someone. That's how you can practice Pentecost. Like, because Pentecost is really all about the community being changed. It's all about what's happening on the outside of this wall and how the Holy Spirit can fall on you. And so I just want to encourage you that we can encourage someone this week. You know, and one of the ways that we're going to encourage each other this week as a body is that we have these wristbands that each one of you are going to receive as you leave service today. And it simply says, #. Grateful to God, and we want you to give these to people who are just making a difference in our community. And let's just encourage them. Let's overwhelm our community with gratitude, and let's live out Pentecost in our community. Let's just overwhelm them with gratitude today. And when you do so, if you take a picture or just hashtag it on your Facebook and like, hey, man, I gave this, and hashtag grateful to God, and take a picture of it and just so we can see and we can celebrate along with you. So we received these on Thursday afternoon, and so I was able to get a couple and give it to some people that I'm grateful for. And so my daughter, she gets out of school around about 3:50. And so I stopped by, Brittany or I, we stopped by McDonald's to get a sweet tea, you know, every day before we pick up Jalen. So my goal was to get, you know, maybe just two a week because I got a lot of sugar in it. But lately at these days, I've been getting like five a week, but don't judge me, okay? So on Friday's my, you know, opportunity. I get to go pick up my daughter from school. And so I went by McDonald's to get my sweet tea to go pick up Jalen. And I gave this to the lady who gives out. The same lady works at the same time every day, like Monday through Friday at McDonald's Hopkins. And so I gave it to her. And I said, hey, I'm just so grateful for you. So grateful that you give me perfect ratio of ice and sweet tea. Just perfect. Deep. I mean, you go to some places, they give you like all ice and like a little bit of juice. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, I'm done. I'm going to go get my refill or something, you know? I mean, she just done. I gave it to her. So, you know, it was funny. We didn't get an ice cream cone yesterday with the kids, and she had it on. And I don't know how many people, I don't know how many people see it because, you know, she reaches her hand out every day and she had it on. And I just, you know, if you're a student in here, man, you can be grateful for your teachers. And all they give you lots of homework, and you got SOLs coming up, and, man, all the pressures of that. Hey, how about you just give one of these to your teacher? Like, hey, you know what? I'm grateful for you and the things that you've done for me this school year. Maybe to an administrator. Maybe to the lunch lady, right, that we pass by every day. Or maybe to the custodian who cleans up the school and makes sure that we can open the doors. And I'm not sure who we can give this to, but if we can all overwhelm our community with gratitude, man, that would be a blessing. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be great. I just want to close off the day, and this is a simple opportunity for us to receive more of the Holy Spirit. He wants to touch us. I'm going to invite Pastor Brandon to come on up at this time, and we're just going to spend just a few moments. We're ending this a little bit earlier today, and so we're just spending like a few moments, not long at all, and just to receive the Holy Spirit. And we're going to maybe sing a song, a chorus or so, not a whole song, just a chorus. And in that time, if you can just kind of in your heart and say, no, Holy Spirit, could you just give me more of you today? Could you just touch my life today? Holy Spirit, I would love to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. Just ask God. I would love to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. And just ask him. And you may not feel nothing different. You may not sense anything different. You may not have some goosebumps, or you may not have certain giftings or expressions. But part of this is that you just got to have faith that Holy Spirit is going to grant your requests. And he's going to just touch your life. And this is not a one-time moment. We pray that you do this tomorrow as well. We pray that you do this on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. That every day you're asking for a refilling of God's Spirit in your life. Could you all stand with me? Could you just close off our service today? We're just going to end up with just a song of worship today. And as we're singing this song, I just want to encourage you all just to ask God for more of his Spirit in your life today. Repeat after me. We're just gonna repeat this prayer after me, and we all gonna say the prayer together because we all need more of God's Spirit in our lives. I need more. And man, the mission that we are on, that God has for our lives, we need this. And this is why we're grateful to God for Pentecost. Because he gives us his spirit. He gives us the stuff we need for this. So could you all repeat after me? Say, Holy Spirit, give me more of you today. Let's say it again. Holy Spirit, give me more of you today. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for every single one of these people, God. I know there's some people here today, God, that before they can experience Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, they have to experience the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Salvation in their lives. And so, God, I pray for those who they need to make a decision today for the first time to give their lives to Jesus. Lord, would you just touch them? Would you bless their hearts, God? Would you just acknowledge their faith they're taking today? And as your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, I just want to say, if that's you, you want to make that decision today, say, you know what, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to, or you just want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Say, no, I want to make a fresh commitment to live for you, God. If that's you, could you just slip your hand up just real quick so we can see it? See those hands. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you raise your hand, we would love to connect with you. One of our pastors, we want to give you a call and just follow up with you. And just what those next steps are. And so on your connection card, could you just put your name and some information about yourself? And we just love to give you more. The next step that you can take, whether you rededicated your life or gave your life to Jesus for the first time, we would love to reconnect with you and tell you what some of the next steps you can take. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you touch us, God? Would you give us more of you, God? And God, would you give us the opportunity to be a witness for you, Lord? Lord, we're grateful for Pentecost. We're grateful for Pentecost Sunday. Lord, would you have your way? Would you touch us? In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You guys have a great week.